Hi, welcome to the One-to-One Thing podcast. My name is Steve Wright, a seasoned IT manager and personal development coach, unpacking what it takes to have a meaningful one-to-one conversation at work, home, and in our head. We all live lives full of conversations that range from awkward to impossible. Join me as we learn to navigate the one-to-one thing.
I just want to let, for people who are joining this recording, we didn't go live for a technical issue, but certainly I've got Richard Lasseter with me here. Where in the country are you from? Where are you calling from, Richard? You're in the States somewhere.
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. Where are you?
I'm in the UK. I'm in Lancaster, the north of England.
So, I love it up there.
Yeah, so it's a nice part of the world, even albeit a bit chilly right now. But thank you for making the time to join this to join me on this call. And you know, we'll be talking just generally about things that pertain to managers who lead. But at the same time, we understand that goes much further than your career. It bleeds into how you live your life, how you show up for your family, how you show up in your community. And you were just sharing about the impact of the inner peace movement that informed your life early on and has shaped your life moving forward. So inner peace, the inner peace movement, you said.
Yeah, I was building test instruments for the College of William and Mary's physics department, and I was married to a really beautiful woman. She'd won a lot of international contests and things. So the only reason I went to this first lecture was because I had jealous tendencies about her. You know, guys were always hitting on her, and I wanted to be there to prevent that. But the lady who gave the program was my son's kindergarten teacher, or actually preschool teacher, just a normal woman in the community. And I wasn't interested in those things. I was more science-based. Mm-hmm. But as she talked and explained some symbols that she was working with on this chart, I began to realize this, everything I've ever thought now fits somewhere. My religious training, my personal doubts about that, science, society, how everything worked, why I'm here on planet Earth, what this is really all about, what the purpose of it is. And I think if I had not gone to that lecture, my life would probably be very different, if not over by now.
Wow. Let me just, I'm going to recap. That's great insight. So what do you do now? And
right
just
now,
kind of give us that journey.
The Inner Peace Movement evolved into an organization called Wayshowers College. And I'm one of the people who is helping develop that in such a way that we can get the message out to the world. I do a lot of the graphic design, the websites. I do a lot of lectures and teaching. But mainly my interest right now is to work with people who are leaders and help them be better leaders, to learn how to share from the core of who they are instead of who they may have been taught to be, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
One thing I've found in my business, in spiritual leadership, here on planet Earth, competition is given. Even my cells compete with each other. But when it comes to doing what I came to do this lifetime, and I think this fits for about anyone, competition, if I'm trying to be like someone else, if I'm trying to do my opportunity the way you do yours because you're a leader in your industry, that's good as long as I don't try to become you and I just keep trying to develop who I am through that. that I'm presenting things my way, the way I feel they should best be done, and not to doubt that. In other words, there can't be any competition within me toward anything outside myself when I'm doing my work. If it is, I'm diluting my own power, and I'm diluting my own influence, and I'm setting myself up to live in a bit of fear that something can be taken away from me. That, you know, Steve does his job better than I do my job. I need to watch Steve. If Steve's doing a better job than I am, learn from Steve, but do it my way. And to me, that makes anything I'm doing much more relaxed and makes me a better person to work with.
That's powerful. That's powerful. That I love how you say that. You know, it's true. Competition is inherent because, you know, things are competing with each other. And, you know, in terms of how we show up in the world and take on that mantle of competition, often to our detriment, like you said, if we're coming from a place of, often we come from a place of lack, where we think if someone, or the zero sum game, if you've got it, then I can't have it. And that fuels that tension and that pressure to compete. And then also we often set up the wrong measures to compete against, you know.
I keep getting the word trying to be the best. Well, am I trying to better you or to outdo you, or am I trying to be better myself? Because I've found that anything that helps me become a more relaxed and aware person, if I really have that, then it penetrates everything. It penetrates my social life. It penetrates my business life. It penetrates my personal life. It shows up in my physical appearance and health. Whereas anything else kind of degrades that. You know, if I, like here, am I here to be of service or am I here to get attention? You know, if I want to get attention, that's going to come across. You're going to feel that. If I'm here to be of service, you're going to feel that. Because everyone, in my opinion, is very sensitive to other people's motives, thoughts, and feelings. It's like I live in two worlds at once. I live in the physical world of all this stuff you can see around me, and even this physical body is part of the physical world. But the real me, the intelligent part, the part that's talking to you, the part of you that's listening to me and interpreting that through your system, that's energy. That's the soul. That part of me, that's what's important. And because you're energy and I'm energy, you can feel it if I'm having you on. And that's where, as a soul, if I'm not being sincere with you, probably your defenses are automatically going to go up.
Yeah.
There's something, I like that guy, I like what he said, but there's something about him. And that understanding how to work with that sensitivity, to me, I don't care what I'm doing for a living, what my position is, working with that sensitivity is really, and mastering that is the essence of life. In other words, there are a lot of people in my business, in the coaching business and stuff, who talk about, you know, we'll heal your trauma. Well, that's good. I'd keep doing that. But there is a level beyond healing it to be. To really heal it, I need to master it. A lot of what I see is learning how to cope. And coping is good. I'm not denying that. But there's a level beyond it where I don't have to cope, where those memories, those situations, I begin to see the beauty in them, what I learned, how I grew spiritually from being involved in that. And that's mastery, because now that thing no longer affects me. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. I have a dear friend. I'll call it that. It's really more than that. But he had a problem with alcohol. He would drink too much, and it was affecting his life in a lot of areas. And to his credit, for I think over 10 years now, he hadn't had a drink. But he still says he's an alcoholic. So, you know, when I talked to him about it, I said, to me, you're no longer an alcoholic. He said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. So he needs to hold on to that idea. He hasn't mastered it. He's tolerating it. It's still taking some energy for him to stay that way. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
It makes a lot of sense in terms of that identity shift. And it's interesting you use the term mastery, because sometimes those being the best and competing and mastering can have connotations of lording over something or someone. You know, so when we say we have mastery of a situation, it can sometimes, even for me, just hearing that, it can sometimes be construed as I am a master of someone or some situation. And what you're really speaking to is the self-mastery, understanding that you show up as a genuine, authentic, energy-filled, inspired being, so that things around you don't master you. Including, you know, the example of a traumatic experience. And that's not to discount how people manage, deal, navigate, cope, and triumph over trauma. This is not to minimize any of the modalities that get you through the day, because,
I mean, if I have a broken leg, I need a crutch. But once the leg heals, it's probably good for me to throw that crutch away and develop those muscles and stand on my own. Mm. And what you're talking about there is the difference between a need to control and a need to direct. You know, I think it was Patton who said, let people surprise, don't tell people how to do something. Tell them what needs to be done and let them surprise you with their ingenuity. Mm. Mm. And I see a lot of great, I work with some and have the good fortune of knowing some very successful business people, and all of them let their people go. You know, they say, here's what I want done. Go get it done your way. They don't micromanage them. The minute I move into that, I've quit being a business leader and I've become somewhat of a slave driver. And if you, Nelson Mandela is one of the better examples I know of a person who seems to have mastered himself, because this is a man, he went through hell.
Yeah.
And when he came out, he actually forgave the people. He held no grudges. He actually was inclusive of the people who had put him in bondage. And did some great things. So that's the difference in self-mastery. And then I go look at some of the leaders we've had in our country lately, who they want people be devoted to them.
That's a crazy shift. As you said, yeah, Mandela's story is powerful. To be more free than the jailers that are imprisoning you, yeah. You know, to actually offer them a sense of freedom more so than them captivating his body in a jail, is very powerful. Viktor Frankl is another example that comes to mind in terms of just that sense of purpose, and the power of purpose. And again, I like what you said just about, the difference between, the sense of leading and controlling, the need to control, or the desire to control versus the desire to direct. I think leaders can build the skill set that gives them the insight to direct an organization or direct a mission, but without having that sense of like the micromanagement or the control of every aspect of it, trusting your people, putting the right people in the positions, and the right people being the ones that you energetically connect with and you can, you know, you can have that empathy with, and then letting them go. Like you said, I think that's a great analogy. What would be one of the, let's leave a practical insight or a tip. I'm thinking for people who are listening to this thinking, oh, this energy talk is all well and good, but I'm a diehard technician. You mentioned your background in terms of, you know, physical sciences and there's no space for woo woo, you know? But is there a practical tip or comment you can share with the audience here?
Believe in yourself. That's it. You know, I watch little children and they don't hesitate to do that. Mm. They never hesitate. I have a 10-year-old. I've had the privilege of having three litters of children about 20 years apart this lifetime. And all of us, I believe, when we're young, we have an unfettered belief in ourselves. I'll try an English educator, Robinson, sir. I remember he told a story of a little girl who was in an art class, maybe kindergarten or preschool. And the teacher went over to the little girl and said, "What are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, honey, nobody knows what God looks like." And without even looking up, she said, "They will in a minute." But that's the kind of confidence that everyone's born with. So to me, understanding that spiritual part is anything but woo-woo. It's essential, because that's the part of me that brings forth my creativity. That's the part of me that believes in myself. That's the part of me will give my ideas a go. And everything else is kind of what they trained into me that was more important. And probably the most harmful words I've ever heard said to a child are the words, "That's just your imagination." Mm-hmm. Because it's not. It's you tapping into the wisdom of the universe, or whatever you want to call it, the collective consciousness. As if I allow a person to develop that as a child, as an adult, they will use it in amazing ways to help humanity and to forward themselves. Mm. But it's those who are taught to be afraid to trust themselves that tend to seek outer control and seek outer direction and seek outer fulfillment when none of that is real. None of that is lasting. The only thing that's lasting is this peace that comes with knowing I'm capable. And that will never happen to me unless I give my ideas a go and believe in myself. And if I do that, I'm going to find that I will allow others to do that as well. And that's going to move whatever endeavor I'm involved in to a whole new level. Mm-hmm.
That is powerful. That is powerful. Believing in yourself, and it's interesting you mentioned imagination, because I have a daughter that is an artist, and I use that term because her work reflects who she is, and so calling her. I have two daughters, and they're both artistic in their ways, but one tends to use the known materials that artists use, therefore she can take the term artist. But your point about the imagination and And sometimes we can limit or put it in a jar whereby it's just for you and it's not for anybody else, and it's not a reflection on the world that you live in. Can really be to our own detriment, because we don't, like you said, we don't trust ourselves in the world, and we don't believe in ourselves as we navigate the world. So that's very powerful. Just what will be a parting thought, message for the audience that have been listening to us today?
You are perfect for what you came to do for yourself this lifetime. You were born perfect to do that. Just do it. Just trust yourself and go. The worst thing can happen is you're going to learn something. But if I'm trusting myself, I'm going to know where I came from when I started, and I'm going to know how to get back. I'm going to lose nothing by giving it a go, because I'm pretty good at where I am right now, and so is everyone who's listening to this. And if I'm starting from where I am and trusting myself, I know what I want. I know where I'm going. If I step in a puddle, I can always come back and reevaluate. And I'm richer for it because now I have experience. And that's really the only real teacher here on planet Earth is experience.
Mm. Mm.
You don't get that at university. That's why most of the billionaires never finished university. They were too interested in going out and giving it a go.
That is so true. Richard, this has been a real joy just having you share in a way that sort of is a testimony to you, your journey, and things that you've experienced. And yeah, there was definitely some takeaways there in terms of just ensuring that we are in tune to who we are and really lean into believing in ourselves. So thank you again for your time. And for those that are watching, I hope you enjoyed that. I think we'll have an opportunity to certainly do some more discussions in this format. I'd love to do a sort of a round table. And also
that would be fun.
Yeah. And also maybe even get some of the members together on one of our Real Connect calls, so that we can really sort of talk with each other and flesh out some of these concepts that encourage us all.
That would be fun. It's been a real pleasure meeting you. Next time I'm in UK, I'll take a train up and we'll grab a cream tea.
A cream
tea. I love those so much. Well, you cannot get that in America. You cannot get that.
That'll be lovely. That'll be lovely. I would certainly look forward to that. So, Richard, thanks again. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Stephen. Right. Cheers, mate.
All right, then. Thanks for joining me today. Please subscribe and leave a review. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. My details and links are in the show notes.